Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan. And I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me. And you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 196 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, this is our first in-season episode of 2023.
Yeah, it's wild. All the work, all the shows, all the rankings, all this has led to the season, and now it's time to, you know, push forward. It's the grind for, what, 5-6 months of fantasy baseball. We're here to help with all that. It's going to be a great season. It's already off to a good start. And yeah, I'm really excited. I'm going to have a lot of great shows moving forward, hopefully to help everybody in your dynasty leagues. But today we've got a good episode as we talk about some bold predictions for dynasty leagues. I know the season's already started, but hey, it's just one day in, so we can still make these bold predictions.
So saying that Bo Bichette isn't going to hit 667 all season, that's not what we should be saying here?
Hey, I mean, he might. We don't know.
I would love that, as I have a lot of Bo Bichette share, especially in Dynasty. So I would love that. Be a good start for him. The bad start for our two teams here, though. Red Sox giving up 10 runs. Max Fried going down. The hopefully not too. That's not like it's too bad of an injury, but it's still not the way you want to, you know, see your ace start out the season.
Right. Yeah. Ever ideal.
But hey, you guys still have so much pitching depth to withstand, you know, him missing a little bit of time here. So should be okay. Hopefully it's not. I have some free chairs too. So hopefully not a long-term injury here. But we're going to start off the season with some bold predictions, as Chris mentioned. We're going to get at least a dozen. And we actually have a couple of joint ones that we'll start out the show with, because we both put out separate tweets over the last handful of days. And two of our bold predictions kind of synced up a bit. So, sunk up? Synced up. Is it synced up or sunk up?
Synced, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. But sunk? That doesn't even sound right. Whatever. Synced up. So, we'll start out with those two. Then we'll give six more each. A total of six for Dynasty, kind of major leaguers. And then six more for prospects. But before we enter the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find us at Chris at RotoClegg. I'm at Eric Cross 04. Our show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out my Patreon for more work from me and Chris's Substack for more work from him. And before we get into the show, we want to say a quick word about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. If you sign up using the promo code Toolshed, you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100, and that can be used for any of their fun fantasy games. And we will be posting some player pick'em, you know, not props. I don't want to use the word props, but that's what they basically are each day from the Toolshed accounts. We did a couple today. We'll do two a day. Hopefully help you win a little bit of money too and have some fun throughout the season. So go check out our friends at Underdog Fantasy and use that code Toolshed again to receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. Great site, great people over at Underdog. So to start, Chris and I have two kind of joint bold predictions because over the last handful of days, we each put out our own bold predictions tweet, and there's two players that each one of us had in there. It was Tristan Casas and James Outman. With Casas, we both said 30-plus home runs this season. I added a 100 RBI into my tweet because he's probably going to be hitting like fifth or sixth, it looks like. That's where he's kind of settled in this spring when the whole lineup is there, and that'll be behind some pretty good on-base guys like Devers, like Justin Turner, Yoshida. So I think the RBI opportunities will be there a fair amount this year. And you saw how he looked really good in the spring, hitting for power, hitting for average. You know, I'm very much in. You know, call it a bias, whatever. You know, Chris is saying it. He's not even a Red Sox fan. So definitely very much buying a big breakout year from Tristan Casas.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think a lot of people are concerned that he's going to be like a platoon type, but he actually showed really good against lefties in the spring. And I know it was a small sample, but even despite a small sample, he had like 385 against lefties in the spring. So that's encouraging to me. I'm not overly worried about that. The power is there. He's going to have great OBP skills as well. I think that 30 home runs is definitely in the cards here. And we're talking about massive power, good contact as well. And, you know, right field plays weird for lefties in Fenway, but this is the kind of player that has power that just kind of transcends. I kind of like Rafael Devers does, where yeah, you know, it doesn't matter because he has so much power anyway. And I think that's going to be the case with Tristan Casas. I feel pretty good about Casas, you know, being a 250, 260 type hitter. I think he's going to put an OBP up of 350 or 360, like 100 points higher than his average. And if he hits 30 home runs, and I'm guessing the average is probably north of 250, but I think that he's going to play really well in this park. Like he can go the opposite field too, which I like, and he can probably hit a lot of doubles off the monster. So in general, I think Casas is a great play at first base in Dynasty, and I think he's one that you can get on the cheap, and I would be really happy getting him now because I think his value is only going to move up. So I would say buy Tristan Casas in a dynasty league.
I am everywhere. Like definitely, I've seen him for a long time now, and it was not a long time in Double A, and obviously was following his, you know, progress very closely as a Red Sox fan in the low minors. Like this dude is just a really, really good hitter with a ton of power. Like I think what those kind of numbers just mentioned, very much possible. And I think there's even upside for more, like could be 270 and 35. Like I think you, once you get settled in, and you might see, you know, some of that this year, you could see numbers similar to like what Adrian Gonzalez is putting up, you know, a handful of years back. I think that they could be very similar type of profiles long term. And Gonzalez was one, a very good hitter for a very long time. So yeah, Casas, 30 plus home runs, book it. Let me not book it, but we both think it's definitely in play this year, and he's just a buy everywhere. Obviously, not doing redrafts anymore, but big, big buy in dynasty leagues, big power, big guy, a lot of big things going on for Tristan Casas, and hopefully he's one of the bright spots for my Red Sox this season. The other one was James Outman, and Outman's a player I've liked him for a good bit now, but it's one of those, like, he was a little bit older, he's on the Dodgers, and it's surprising to hear that Robert's saying that, you know, while it won't be every day as like a full-time starter, he could be, you know, get the lion's share of time in center field. So maybe we're looking at 500 plate appearances this year. And I think if you get 500 plate appearances, like I think I put down for mine that he goes 2010. Chris, remember what yours was exactly for Outman?
Yeah, I said 2510. So.
Oh, so you went 2510. All right. And I think that's possible too. Like, look at what he did the last couple of years in the minor leagues. 2021, he put up, let's see, what was it here? I'm on the wrong, there we go. I was looking at the wrong line. 18 home runs, 23 steals in just 104 games. Hit 266, 379, 490. And last year in 125 games, almost split between AA and AAA. 31 home runs, 13 steals, 294, 5.86. Yeah, maybe the average won't be super high. Maybe he's on like a 250, 255 guy. But I think like what we both kind of mentioned for our numbers here, that 20 plus and 10 is absolutely, and if he gets 500 plate appearances this year, I think it's possible. So I'm definitely very much in on James Outman right now.
Yeah, Outman's kind of sneaky good. And I think people realize that. It's like that he's made the Dodgers. Obviously, he's good. But I don't think people realize like how good he was last year. Like you mentioned the stats. The power's definitely there. I mean, he smokes baseballs. He had a 46% hard hit rate last year, which is pretty stellar. 107.2 90th percentile EV. What I love, though, is that he hits like really consistent launch angles. It's like sweet spot percentage of near 40% is really, really good. That's a lot of line drives and healthy fly balls. So it just helps those balls turn into home runs. Like that's what I love to see from him. I think his speed is pretty sneaky as well. And the plate discipline is good too. Like we're looking at a good OBP type guy. And I just think he's just going to earn his spot in this Dodgers lineup. He's going to play every day. I mean, looking at what they have, I just don't see this ordeal with David Peralta lasting with Jason Hayward. I don't see that lasting. I mean, Outman is starting opening day in center field, which is great. I think that's just the case long term. I think he just is that good, and he's going to earn those stripes, and he's going to really fly up boards. So if I could get James Outman in a dynasty, I absolutely am. And I think that the cost is still pretty cheap. So I am looking to grab him pretty much everywhere. Like if he's available in like a 12-team league, like absolutely go get him. If he's,
yeah,
if the trade cost is low, just get him as well. Like, you know, it's, yeah, you got to get him everywhere, I think.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree on that. It's why we kind of synced up with our Outman ball predictions there. And I wonder what must be going through Michael Bush's head. Like he's been sitting there waiting for his shot and then James Outman gets it, but obviously different positions, but I'm just happy that he got the shot really. I thought there was, beginning of the offseason, I'm like, all right, you know, there's not a clear path, is a path. So I saw the opportunity there, and then, you know, they bring in Peralta, they bring in Hayward. I'm like, oh, come on, here we go again with the Dodgers. But yeah, it looks like he's going to get playing probably four or five times a week, it sounds like. And the power speed is definitely there. Like, look at what he did in the minor leagues. Overall, per 650 plate appearances, he was right around 30 home runs, 25 steals per 650. And obviously, hard to go off of that, but just shows like what type of potential he has. Walk rate well over 10%. K rate wasn't too bad either. So yeah, I think there's definitely a really good player here that just get a little undervalued because he's old in the prospect. He's 25 or almost 26, actually. When's he turned 26? About a month and a half. Yeah, middle of May. So he's old for a prospect, but that's fine. I will buy the discount on these guys all day. Same with Michael Bush. Buy him. I'm still kind of in a Michael Bush, too. And Cade Marlowe, guys like that. You know, they get that 23, 24, 25, and that's ancient prospects, but creates good buying opportunities for sure. All right, so those were our two joint ones there. Now we'll go over to our individual ones, starting with Chris with Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Yep. So I'm going Ke'Bryan Hayes hits 20 home runs this year and also throw in that he steals 20 bags. And the stolen base part obviously isn't that bold because he did that last year. He stole 20. I think he hit, what, 9 home runs? It'll pull up. I'll see. Oh, 7 home runs. Even worse. 7 home runs, 20 steals last year for Hayes. 244 average. But he made elite contact. His contact is so good. He ran a lower BABIP last year, but man, all spring, he's been lifting the ball well, and he's been hitting extremely hard, like absolutely scorching baseballs. I just think that this is the year where Hayes puts it all together. The raw power is there. I mean, you look at the profile, and we just see a guy who's consistently ranks at the top of like hard hit rate data, average EV data. All that stuff Hayes ranks really well at, but his problem always comes down to his ground ball rate. He hits the ball on the ground too much, and he hits unhealthy fly balls because they're to the opposite field. All of his hard hit fly balls are going to the opposite field, not getting out of the park. So I think he begins to pull it a little more this year. We already saw that some this spring. He's hitting the ball harder than ever. So I think this is the year that Hayes puts it all together. He goes 2020, and we see that hit tool come to life because he was always billed as like a plus hitter in the minors. He hasn't really shown that. He's a career 261 hitter in the majors. But I think that this year, he hits 275 and goes 2020. So that probably vaults him up to like an easily a top 75 dynasty asset. So I'm in on Ke'Bryan Hayes pretty much anywhere I can be.
Man, that might even push him top 50. And yeah, I'm definitely in agreement on that as well. Like, obviously, he's not going to make a Vlad Jr. like jump, but it's kind of a similar situation where it's like, all right, we know there's really good raw power there. He's got to elevate the ball more. So yeah, definitely. And I hope that can happen. I did pick up some shares on Hayes because, you know, and I have a couple in the dynasty, but we have redraft as well. Because the value was just, you know, near pick 200. It was really good. So I like him a lot. Going with another corner from my first one here, I'm going to go Jose Miranda as a top 50 dynasty player. Maybe even higher. Maybe like top, I'll say top 40. We'll bump that a little bit. Top 40 dynasty player by the end of the season. And, you know, Miranda quietly just really excelled this. I know he's had a pretty good spring. I looked at the numbers. I was like, man, 14 games, 45 player appearances. I hit 325, 400, 825, five doubles, five home runs, five walks to only three strikeouts. Like, this is a guy that has hit everywhere he's gone. Never been a guy that struck out a lot. And the walks have been encouraging because that's something that he's never been, you know, that was never a huge walk rate guy. Even last year with Minnesota, it was only 5.8%. But then he walked over 10% of the time in spring training. Yes, small sample size, but walked twice on opening day today. Didn't get a hit, but did walk twice in five plate appearances. So hopefully he can get that walk rate up. I think the power is, you know, not great power, but it's good power. I think there's a legit chance he goes something like, you know, 270, 275 with, you know, pushing 30 home runs and, you know, probably 90s to 100 RBI. And it's all going to run scored as well. I think he's going to be, you know, not Austin Riley, but I think like a step down from Austin Riley. I think he can get, you know, up to that next tier after Austin Riley and settle in as a, you know, really good, you know, top 50 overall player, you know, a guy that's pushing top five at third base. And luckily for, you know, people that have him, he's going to have dual eligibility this year, you know, filling in at first base for a bit. So while Kirilloff is on the IL, and who knows how much we even see of Kirilloff this year, he's always hurt. So I think the opportunities to be there, obviously he's going to play every day. And I think this is going to be a really good year for Jose Miranda. So Jose Miranda, top 40 is my first one.
I like it. I like it. So I'm going to go to Reed Detmers next. I have just been enthralled by what Reed Detmers has done this offseason and spring. I'm going to say he is a top 20 dynasty SP by season's end. I think he's going to bump the strikeout rate to 30%. And he probably has an ERA below 3.5. So I would say that pushes him in that top 20 territory, especially given his age. So this spring, we had heard about the velo. He had no Statcast readings until the last spring start, which was the big one against the Dodgers. And he was up 2.8 miles an hour on his fastball. He was up 4 miles an hour on his slider. Up 2.1 miles an hour on the changeup and 2.2 on the curveball. Now, this arsenal plays so well together. The four seam was sitting 96. His slider was sitting 90.3. That's absolutely insane what he was doing. And then he mixed in the changeup at 86 and the curve at 75. That curve is nasty. I just really think this is Reed Detmers year. He flashed this last year. He showed us moments where he was like, he almost was putting it all together. And he did. Like, he slowly put it together down the end of the stretch. But to see this step forward out of him this spring is huge. I don't even need the velo to stick at 96. I don't need the slider to stick at 90. But just seeing this kind of improvement, and you can't even say that, oh, it was just a short spring start. He threw 73 pitches. So this was over almost a full start. So I'm pretty much buying into this completely. I like the pitch mix. I just really think Detmers is somebody that you should invest in sooner than later. I think the stock's going to soar. I think you'll probably regret missing out. I mean, we're talking about a 23-year-old who was really, really good in college, who was good last year as a rookie too, but But now is the time that he's going to take that next step forward. And yeah, I think it's easily Reed Detmer season. I'm all in.
Yeah, I am as well. I've written him up. We've talked about him before. Yeah, these are tangible changes that, you know, like, this is not minor. Like you mentioned, like 2.8 miles an hour up, like that is significant. So yeah, really excited to see what he can do over a full year. Again, this could be a fun Angels team. Like every year, it's like, oh, these guys could be fun. Something goes awry, but definitely like Detmer's a lot this year. I was supposed to do the same exact kind of bold prediction for Edward Cabrera, but I've talked about him and written about him so much, I started to not do it again. I'm going to go to probably my most conflicting, personally, prediction of mine for this episode. I'm going Estuary Ruiz goes, I know, yeah, I guess this is bold, like, goes 15-50 this year. Like, I'm, again, very conflicted on how I feel about Ruiz. Like, half my brain is like, yeah, get in on Ruiz. And the half's like, no, you don't. But you know, obviously, there's no denying the speed. Like, this is one of the fastest guys in baseball. So he'll have, you know, the green light all season to run. And obviously, he's coming off an 85 steal year in the minor leagues and had 243 steals career in just 521 games. So quick math, that's like over a full season pace of like, you know, 65 to 70. Obviously, that's not going to directly translate, but with all the new rules and you know, restrictions for pitchers and all that, you know, obviously we saw speed way up. I didn't look at the end of spring numbers, but I remember tweeting, you know, about like a week or so ago. So, you know, got most of spring training. I'm going off the top of my head here. I think it was last spring training, it was like 1.1 steals per game for the entire spring training. And this year it was at that point in time, it was like 1.78 or something like that. So pretty sizable jump. I think it's going to be pretty noticeable this year. And I think it's more so the top guys are going to be even higher. And Ruiz is one of those top speed guys. And again, don't buy into what he did in AAA or just the upper minors in general last year. Like, he's not a 330 hitter. He's not going to, you know, crank 20 home runs over full season, but he's shown just a little bit of pop in the minor leagues enough to, you know, if he's going to get those 600 plus plate appearances, you know, he'll run into 10, 12, maybe 15 home runs, something like that. And 50 steals, like, I saw Carlos Marcano tweet out, but he thinks he could do 80 steals. Like, the speed is insane with this guy, and the opportunity is there. No one's going to take his spot. So, again, I'm still kind of conflicted, but he doesn't need to be a great bat to be a good fantasy asset because he's got that speed to fall back on. And if he can just give you something, maybe if he can just hit, like, 250 with 12 home runs, if you add in 50-plus steals, that is still a pretty valuable fantasy player. So I will go there for my second prediction. Back over to Chris.
All right. So I am going to the Detroit Tigers, and I'm going to say that Riley Green ends the year as a top 30 dynasty asset. I think he's going to hit 25 home runs this year, and I'm going to say that he steals...
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
10 bags. One. I really do think that Green's in for a big year. What we saw in the spring from him was a bit of progress. And honestly, like, I feel like he was a bit squeezed by that ballpark last year to the point where I think he does benefit a lot this year. I mean, he had 4 home runs in the spring in 55 plate appearances. He stole a bag. He didn't strike out as much, which was encouraging. But you look at the spray chart from last year, and man, I really feel like that center field wall just took so many balls from him, so many home runs. And the power's there. Like, he hit the ball hard. He's shown that in the minors. He showed that again in the majors last year. I mean, his barrel rate was near 10%. He had a near 90 mile an hour average EV last year, 45% hard hit rate. But his issues were that the launch angle was inconsistent, hit too many balls on the ground, and ultimately struck out too much. But I do think that, I mean, again, Riley Green was a 21-year-old rookie last year, thrown in the fire on a team that wasn't great. His teammate Spencer Torkelson struggled. He struggled. Really, the whole team struggled. I mean, their $140 million man, Javi Baez, struggled. So I think this team improves this year. I think Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson are a big part of that improvement. But I also think that it's Green's year to bounce back in a strong way. You know, it's funny how quickly players lose dynasty value. You know, he was such a hype prospect. I think he was like most people's like number three entering last season. And now for most, he's not even a top 100 dynasty asset. So to me, it's a good time to buy Riley Green. I think that, I'm telling you, I think that park, he's going to hit more home runs this year. The fence coming in. I don't know. I really like what I've seen from Green so far this spring. And I'm all over this 22-year-old who I think will bounce back in a major way.
Yeah, it is funny how if they don't perform like really well right out of the gate, it's almost like they become damaged goods. It's weird. And you know, I think we're all guilty of this to a degree. And even, you know, myself, I've done it too with various players over the years. And, you know, kind of falls into the shiny new toy syndrome where, well, we jump on the next player that comes up and we kind of forget the guys that just came up and maybe didn't, you know, perform like all-stars out of the gate. Like, how dare they, you know, as a 22-year-old rookie. So, yeah, definitely, you know, well, I'm not like going gaga over Green. I feel like I might have overranked him as a prospect just a little bit. I still think there's a very good player in there. Like, not a stud, but very good player. So definitely 100% in on him is a good buy target right now in Dynasty Leagues. I'm going to go over to Will Benson. Another one that I'm a little bit conflicted by just because, you know, all the ups and downs that Benson had in the past going into 2022. Like, he always had, you know, the big power speed blend, but contact skills and, you know, just striking out too much were the issue, but made tangible improvements last year, cut down the K rate considerably, maintained his high walk rate, and had 17 home runs and 16 steals in just 89 games while hitting .279, .426, .522, went over to Cincinnati, obviously a great ballpark, the best hitter's ballpark in the major leagues. And he looked pretty good this spring, though did have 12 strikeouts. K rate was, you know, that's actually not too bad. It was about 20% or so. Didn't walk, which is very odd for a guy that always was, you know, high, like well over 10% walk in the minor leagues a year. So I'm not really putting much stock into him having zero walks. I think he'll be fine in that regard and have a good OBP. Again, maybe he's not going to be a high average guy. He's a .222 hitter in the minor leagues. Never hit for average until last year where he had .279. So maybe he's only .250, but with a high OBP, and I think the power speed is legit and will only get boosted by Great American Ballpark. And you saw this spring, he only had the two extra base hits, one double, one home run, and 49 plate appearances, but swiped six bags and only caught once at .327 overall. And we know the power's there. And in that ballpark, like, I think he could go, I don't think I've actually said my prediction yet. I think he's going to go 20-20 this year and be a top 100 dynasty player by the end of the season. I think, you know, once people realize, and if he can, you know, carry over and show that those changes he made last year, the improvement, making more contact, cutting the swing and miss down, if he can maintain that to some degree, I think that'll let the power speed play. And he's going to be a really fun player. You know, who doesn't want a, you know, 6'5", 230-pound pure athlete that all that power and speed in the great hitter's park. Will Benson, top 100, going 20-20 this year is my last one for the major league side. Now we go over to some prospect ones, and Chris is going right to my Red Sox for this one.
All right, so you probably have heard me talk about this player quite a bit, and you know, there's a lot of prospects that I love, but I think that Roman Anthony is going to be a top 25 prospect by season's end for fantasy purposes. So Anthony, I think, was highly undervalued as a prep player. He has massive power. We saw it in the Futures game two summers ago where, not the Futures game, the high school All-American game in Coors, where he hit a 450-foot bomb, just absolute tank. We've seen him have speed as well. Very athletic outfielder. The reports I got from minor league camp were extremely good on Roman Anthony. Now, he was coming back from an injury, and as I said, it took him a couple days. But when he got his timing back, everybody raved that I talked to that saw him. And to me, Anthony's already a player I loved, and that was just confirmation bias. So I think that Roman Anthony's going to have a massive season. Like, I'm going to get him in Greenville before long. He's going to start in low A Salem, most likely, but I'll have him in high A here in Greenville before we know it. So I'll get some good looks at him, I hope. But I really do think that Roman Anthony is going to be a pretty special player. There's a lot of talent, you know, budding in this Red Sox system. I think he's going to be a big part of that. I don't think people realize what an athlete he is, how much speed he brings to the table. Hopefully you realize the power he's got, but also the contact is really, really good too. His timing's good. He's going to be a high OBP type guy. I think that Roman Anthony just flourishes this year and has a massive breakout season in his first full season as professional.
Speak it into existence, Mr. Clegg. I would love that. Love Anthony as well. Yeah, there's a lot of fun prospects in the Sox system. Most of them are on the offensive side of things. We still have a little bit of a hard time developing pitchers, but hopefully that can change. But yeah, Roman Anthony, love Roman Anthony. And I was glad the Red Sox got him in the draft this past year. So I definitely a co-sign on that one. I'm going to start with Garrett Mitchell, who I've always loved Garrett Mitchell. Obviously, yeah, he had a great sprint. But I'm going to say he goes, I'm actually amending what I put on the sheet. I'm going to go even higher. I'm going to say 25-25 this year. How was that for bold? I put 20-20 in Ridge, and I'm like, nah, that's not bold enough. And there's still a, you know, high variance with Mitchell, like high, you know, he could be this massive, you know, huge fantasy stud, but there still is the issue of too much swing and miss in this game. We saw that last year. Raw power and speed are absolutely 110% there to be a 25-25 type guy. Didn't steal any bags this spring, but did have the four home runs, and that was even with missing a bit of time as well. I think he missed like a week and a half or something like that. Maybe only a week, but still missed a little chunk there of spring training. And last year at 11.8% barrel rate and a 99th percentile sprint speed, you know, 41% hard hit rate, but also had a 41% K rate. And so that's the issue. Like he's been a decent OBP guy forever, dating back to his days at UCLA. Always had the power speed blend. Ground ball rate limited the power, always the minor leagues. But last year with Milwaukee, it was only 41% ground ball rate, small sample size, but hitting the more line draws, hitting the ball in the air more consistently. Would love to see that continue. So definitely, you know, well, there is, again, some risk in this, but hey, it wouldn't be bold. There's a little bit of risk involved in the prediction. So I'll say 25-25 for Garrett Mitchell. And it makes me wonder, like, how that Milwaukee outfield is going to look in like a year or so. I'm very high on Frolik as well, and Joey Weimer has obviously been very high on Weimer for a bit now. So I think all of them are great buys. But yeah, for right now, Mitchell 25-25, and easily will be top. I think he easily could be top 100 dynasty player by the end of the season. And maybe, and if he's going 25-25, he's probably top 50 at that point in time. So I definitely love Garrett Mitchell right now in all formats. What's your next one, Chris?
Yeah, that's a solid take there. I'm going to the Rangers org, and I'm going to say that Yason Morabell ends the year as a top 50 prospect. So pretty much all the hype has seemed to be around Anthony Gutierrez this offseason in that org, like from those DSL guys. Like, they had a lot of talent, which was great. But everybody just seems to kind of talk about Anthony Gutierrez, and that's fine. But I don't think people realize how good Yason Morabell really was last year. Data is insanely good, and he has the contact skills. The thing I like about him more than Anthony Gutierrez, he doesn't chase as much. Anthony Gutierrez had a lot of chase to his game last year. Both these guys have had good reviews out of camp, though. But for Morabell, I mean, just looking at this profile, I mean, last year plays an 18-year-old. He's a bigger frame. He's going to have big power projection, I think. And he's already kind of shown that in his data. I mean, it's listed at 6'2", 170. I think he's definitely bigger than that. He's got sneaky speed as well. You know, last year we did see him get to low A to end the year. But he was absolutely stellar at the complex. Like, he was great in the DSL in 2021. So Morabell just strikes me as somebody that's going to break out. The power numbers were there. I mean, The high-end exit velocities were certainly there. His hard hit rate to his pull side's really good as well, near 50%. The contact rates are what I love to see. He did this while also having an 86% zone contact, chase of 27%, and his overall contact rate was 77%, which is really good. So I think just the combination of what Yason Morabell brings to the table allows him to really take a step forward. I think he could potentially be a plus hitter with above average power and above average to plus speed as well. So I think that Morabell's the buy here. I have him over Gutierrez right now. I don't think that's popular, but I do think that's a case where that means you can get Morabell on the cheap. And I'd be happy to do that. I think he ends the year as a top 50 prospect.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I've been moving him up my rankings pretty consistently after every update. I have him top 200. Where did you say where you had him in your rankings right now, Chris?
Like 150-ish.
Okay, so yeah, you're a bit high. I kind of figured you'd be a bit higher. I think right around 200 right now. A lot of kind of guys in that similar range. So looking like younger, toolsy guys that could really break out. So yeah, I love that a lot. And what I like about Morabell too is like there's still a good amount of projection on that frame to add even more bulk and more power. So yeah, like a lot of good tools there. Walked a good amount both years. 390 OBP each of the last 2 years. Obviously mostly in rookie ball, but still that's definitely something you can move forward and feel good about. So yeah, I like that pick a lot. So my next bold prediction here is kind of a similar one in terms of top 50 prospect by year's end, but a very different kind of prospect in general. And that's Ivan Melendez. I think I was guilty of underranking him in my FYPD rankings. There's a lot of excitement in the profile. Obviously, he's not going to provide any speed like Morabell can, but the bat is definitely could be a standout bat. He can hit for solid. The contact skills are solid with him. Quality of contact is very, very good. The approach is really good as well. And I think this is going to be a big riser up prospect rankings this season. Look at that last year, what he did in Texas in the Big 12. 387, 508, 863, 32 home runs in just 315 plate appearances, more walks than strikeouts. He's a slugger that doesn't have too much swing and miss to his game. His double plus raw power here. I think this could be a 30-plus homer bat at the major league level with a solid average and a pretty good OBP as well. It could be a 260 hitter with a 360, 370 OBP, something like that. Again, with 30-plus home runs and probably a good amount of doubles as well. I think he's going to be an extra base hit machine. You know, it's already pretty, the frame is filled out. He's 23 years old. I think he's going to move quick. He'll probably, I'm assuming he's starting high A this year, probably double A pretty damn quickly. And maybe we see him second half of next year with the Diamondbacks. So, and there's not really much competition for, they have Christian Walker there, but he could DH a little bit as well. And I can't remember how long Christian Walker is even under contact for. Let me see here. Christian Walker is with the team it's only 2020. Oh, he's ARB eligible. So 2025 free agent. So only two more years. So yeah, that shit could be a pretty easy timeline there for Melendez to maybe DH a little bit and take over for Walker once he leaves via free agency, if he leaves, obviously. But love the bat here. It's elite raw power. And I think a pretty solid hitter all around as well. Like I said, a lot of power, not too much swing and miss. Get some base at a high clip as well. So I think there's going to be an impact bat here with Ivan Melendez. So I'll say top 50 prospect by end of season.
Like that. I mean, he's one of those weird profiles where it's like the elite college performance didn't really translate to his draft stock, which I find interesting, but
right.
I do like Melendez. So I had to get one pitcher in. You know, I'm definitely a hitter guy, but there's a pitcher that I like a lot that I don't think he got the love he deserves. And that is David Festa with the Twins. I think Festa will end the year as a top 10 pitching prospect. May seem really bold. There's a lot of guys in the system that are pretty intriguing from a pitcher standpoint. A lot of people like Marco Raya a bit. There's Connor Prelip that could break out, but I'll go with Festa. He's bigger bodied frame, listed at 6'6", 185. But when you see Festa pitch, Man, he's just a standout, not only because of size, but also just because of the stuff that he brings to the table. So last year, Festa had an extremely good year where he pitched 104 innings with a 2.43 ERA and had 108 strikeouts. I'm not sure people quite caught on to what David Festa was doing. It was really, really good across two levels between low A and high A. His data, pitch data is really, really good as he threw a four-seam fastball, averaged 95, 96 miles an hour, really good induced vertical break in the zone, really good spin rates. Not only good spin, but also good movement with it. Got a lot of whiffs, even got a lot of chase with it, but I like that he throws it for strikes. So what encourages me is that he keeps hitting the strikes on a lot. He has a cutter as well that he mixes in. He has his changeup too. And he also has a slider that I think is a really solid pitch. And I just like to see him use the slider a bit more. He didn't use it a ton last year, but I do think that if he ups the slider usage, then it could really push him over the edge. Because, you know, his fastball changeup combo is great, but I need to see this. And his slider was a newer pitch last year. I need to see it be more consistent, and I need to see it used more often. But another guy whose reports at a minor league camp were really, really good this spring, people I talked to raved about David Festa. And already somebody that I liked, and because of that, I was like, okay, like maybe this is a guy that can just take a big jump this year. And if he utilizes the arsenal how I think that he can, then he's going to take off. No question about it. So it's probably the boldest one, but David Festa with the Minnesota Twins is a top 10 pitching prospect by season's end.
Hey, I mean, it's bold for a reason, right? I definitely like Festa. I think I have him ranked too low myself, but yeah, definitely like that prediction a lot. I'm going to go to an old friend here for my final bold prediction of the show. I'm going to say Noel V. Marte goes 30-20 and regains his top 10 prospect status. We talked a lot about Marte's new kind of frame, bigger frame. Look at, you know, my Twitter handle plus his name, and then go under the pictures tab. You see just a picture of him from the AFL. It's just like he's absolutely jacked now. And took him a little bit of time this year to figure out the new frame. But I think he figures it out. And he started the last 56 games of the season last year, beginning in late June, going through the end of the season in early September. So 245 plate appearance, .333, .425, .575 with 13 home runs. And was really encouraging, too. And yeah, it was high A, so this fueled it a little bit. But he still had 18 steals. So he's still running a good amount, even with the bigger frame. And yeah, I don't think he's going to be, you know, a 30-plus steal guy like he once kind of was thought of being potentially in the future. I think he still can add, you know, 15 to 20 for now and still be a double-digit steal guy for the foreseeable future. I think he's going to tap into that power and really, you know, have a really good year. He's just probably start double-A this year, probably gets a triple-A at some point in the summer. Probably don't see him with Cincinnati, though it's not completely out of the question. I put a very, very low chance, probably less than 5%. But, you know, first half of next year, I think, is when he debuts as a third baseman for them. And I'm still very much in on him, you know, even with the new frame. You know, he's still running a good amount. I think the power is going to be really, really good at that ballpark as well. Add in, you know, probably a 260, 265, maybe 270 average, something like that. And I think there's a potential, like, 25-plus homer, you know, 10 to 15 steal guy at the major league level. If he continues to hit it more balls in the air and really tap into that power like he was on in the season last year, I think it's going to be a really, really big year for Marte this year, and he'll be back in the top 10 by the end of the season. So that was a fun show, Chris. A lot of fun bold predictions here to start off the season. And hopefully we hit, you know, even if we hit on a couple of these, I think that'll be pretty fun. But it's always fun to do these, fun to reflect like a year later, see, you know, if we hit on them, if we got close, or if we completely whipped. But this was a fun episode to record. But that is going to wrap up the show here. Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in again. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We'll be back again on, see, next Monday with, I think we'll do another Dynasty-focused show on that one, obviously. Got a couple of ideas we're tossing around, but whatever it is, it'll be another fun episode. But until then, everyone take care.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.